Decoding the Mediation Bill 2023. Mediation in India is not new. Historical use of mediation through panchayats for community conflict resolution is well known and still preferred. The practice of mediation lost ground during British rule, leading to increased disputes and delays in the adversarial legal system. Section 89(1) of the Code of Civil Procedure 1908 permits courts to suggest arbitration, conciliation, judicial settlement, or mediation for dispute resolution. This is well accepted and implemented by the courts. Mediation centers have been set up across India. Despite this, private mediation lacks structure and legal recognition, discouraging participation. To address this, the Mediation Bill 2021 was proposed to enhance the effectiveness of mediation and provide a comprehensive legal framework for it. Although India became a signatory to the Singapore Convention on Mediation on 7th August 2019, it is yet to be ratified. Therefore, the Mediation Bill does not adopt the Singapore Convention on Mediation, akin to the adoption of the United Nations Convention on the Recognition and Enforcement of Foreign Arbitral Awards, as the New York Convention, under the Arbitration and Conciliation Act. The Singapore Convention contemplates and provides a framework for cross-border enforcement of settlement agreements resulting from international mediation. Mediation, as defined under the Act, aims to expand the scope and statutorily recognized pre-litigation mediation, online mediation, community mediation, conciliation under the definition of mediation. This would have the effect of dispensing with the concept of conciliation in line with international practice of using the terms mediation and conciliation interchangeably as done previously by the Supreme Court of India and as documented by the Singapore Convention. Part 3 of the Arbitration and Conciliation Act is thus rendered otiose, and consequently, the Mediation Act seeks to remove the provisions on conciliation from the Act. On being notified, the Mediation Act will apply to mediations conducted in India. It will apply to mediations where all parties habitually reside or incorporated or have their place of business in India, or the mediation agreement imports the applicability of the Mediation Act. Or there is an international mediation in relation to a commercial dispute, provided one of the parties is an individual who is a national or habitually resides in a country other than India, or a body, corporate, association, body of individuals having a place of business outside India. Further, where one of the parties is a central or state government or any entity or body controlled or owned by such government, the Mediation Act will be applicable only in case of commercial disputes or other disputes as notified. Though the Singapore Convention provides a framework for cross-border enforcement of settlement agreements resulting from international mediation, the Mediation Act applies only to international mediations where the mediation is conducted in India, but not applicable to mediations conducted outside India. More specifically, the Mediation Act does not contemplate enforcement of mediated settlement agreements resulting from mediation conducted outside India. This would inevitably excludes enforcement of such mediated settlement agreements in India under the Mediation Act. Matters fit to be resolved by mediation. The Mediation Act provides an illustrative list of disputes or matters not fit for mediation, which include disputes against minors or persons with intellectual disability, prosecution of criminal offenses, any dispute relating to levy collection penalties, direct and indirect tax funds, any investigation, inquiry or proceeding before the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India, and the like. The Mediation Act is also intended to apply beyond civil and commercial disputes. That's disputes relating to compoundable offences, including matrimonial offences, which are compoundable and pending between the parties. This may prove to be an effective guidance in case of any ambiguity in the nature of disputes which can be settled through mediation. Mediation Act, therefore, goes a step ahead of the Arbitration Act, which has left issues related to non-arbitrability of disputes to judicial precedent. A mediation agreement may be in the form of a clause in an agreement or a separate agreement as long as it's in writing. The Mediation Act explains in writing to mean either any document signed by the parties or an exchange of communication or letters, including through electronic form as provided under the IT Act 2000, or any pleading or any other proceeding in which existence of the mediation agreement is alleged by one party and not denied by the other. Further, parties can submit a dispute to mediation even subsequent to the dispute arising between them. The court or tribunal may pass suitable interim orders in such court-referred mediations to protect the interest of any party if it deems appropriate. However, the Mediation Act does not specify the nature and extent of such interim orders, unlike Section 9 of the Arbitration and Conciliation Act. Appointment of mediators. A person of any nationality may be appointed as a mediator according to a process agreeable by the parties. However, the party autonomy is curtailed by the Proviso 281, which provides that in case of a foreign mediator, he or she shall possess such qualification, experience, and accreditation as may be prescribed. Filling agreement, parties may make an application to the mediation service provider for appointment of a mediator from the panel of mediators maintained by it, which must take into account consideration of the preference of the parties and suitability of the mediator in resolving the dispute. Interestingly, the mediator proposed to be appointed is required to disclose, in writing, any circumstances, personal, professional, financial, or otherwise, that may give rise to any conflict of interest or give rise to justifiable doubts as to his independence or impartiality. This is in line with the standard of disclosure adopted under UNCITRAL model laws and the IBA guidelines on conflict of interest in international arbitration. This is a continuing obligation, and the mediator is required to intimate if any such circumstances arise during the course of the proceedings, which conflict may be waived by the parties expressly in writing. Further, a mediator so appointed cannot act as an arbitrator or a counsel representative of a party in any arbitral or judicial proceeding which is the subject matter of the mediation proceedings, or be represented as witness in any proceeding. The mediation shall take place within the territorial jurisdiction of the court or tribunal of competent jurisdiction to decide the subject matter of the dispute, or at any other place by mutual consent of the parties. Parties may also conduct the mediation proceedings online, provided parties agree to do so by written consent. On the process, mediation is deemed to have commenced from a date a party receives notice invoking mediation under a mediation agreement. In case there is no such agreement from the date of appointment or consent, the mediator is required to assist the parties in an independent, neutral, and impartial manner, guided by the principles of objectivity and fairness. The mediator may meet the parties separately or jointly as frequently as required. Mediator is not bound by the principles of CPC or the Indian Evidence Act. This ensures more flexibility from procedural requirements and party autonomy in arriving at an amicable settlement. The mediation proceeding is required to be completed within a period of 120 days from the date fixed from the first appearance of the mediator. It may be extended by a further period mutually agreed by the parties, not more than 60 days. Corresponding amendment has also been proposed to the Commercial Courts Act in case of pre-institution mediation. Parties and participants involved in mediation are obligated to keep confidential several aspects, including statements, proposal, documents, and any other communication exchanged during the mediation. Moreover, recording mediation proceedings through audio or video is prohibited to ensure confidentiality. Importantly, the information discussed during mediation cannot be used as evidence in court, arbitration, or any legal proceedings. This expands the protection under without prejudice privilege to parties to encourage them to engage in candid discussions towards an amicable settlement. Now, while the concept of mediation remains completely voluntary and optional, the recognition and formalization of the process and method into a statute demonstrates its growth as an effective form of ADR. COVID-19 and the economic duress seen globally has ensured that speedier and cost-effective justice, even if non-adjudicatory, is critical. The Mediation Act represents a significant leap towards fostering a culture of ADR in India, introduced with the primary objective of promoting and facilitating mediation. The Mediation Act emphasizes institutional, online, and community mediation as an effective means of resolving disputes in a timely manner. Its applicability spans a broad spectrum of cases, encompassing parties residing or doing business in India, as well as international commercial disputes involving foreign entities. There are clear misses, like the absence of statutory enforcement of mediated settlement agreement passed in mediations conducted outside India, in sync with the Singapore Convention. In a world where mediation is fast becoming an effective and preferred dispute resolution mechanism, the Mediation Act has perhaps lost an opportunity to provide for an all-encompassing law where mediated settlements entered into by the parties anywhere in the world can be enforced in India. Further, while the Arbitration Act offers some guidance on the type of interim orders that can be issued, the Mediation Act lacks this level of specificity, leaving room for interpretation and potential variance in practice. The Mediation Act also lacks analogous guiding principles and does not furnish equivalent clarity for appointment of a mediator as provided by the fifth schedule of the Arbitration Act for the appointment of an arbitrator. It is hoped that the rules to be framed under the clause of the Mediation Act will bridge this gap. The Mediation Act is a welcome step towards transforming the landscape of dispute resolution by offering parties an effective and efficient way to resolve conflicts voluntarily and without any form of adjudication.